I'm Mark Bayshore. This is Current State. A Michigan State University plant biology professor is playing a unique role in piecing together a tragic West Michigan crime. Dr. Frank Tolusky is part of an effort to locate a Ludington infant who was abducted and likely killed by her father in 2011. Tolusky and other professionals have analyzed bits of plant material found on the man's shoes in an attempt to find the four-month-old's remains. Using the findings, investigators plan to narrow the search this summer. And to find out more about this curious story, we welcome Dr. Frank Tolusky to Current State. Frank, welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
And we're also joined by Peter Carrington, who is one of Frank's graduate students in plant biology. How are you, Peter?
Good morning. Good.
The victim in this tragedy has come to be known as Baby Kate. Catherine Phillips was 4 months old in June of 2011 when her parents had an argument. The girl's father, Sean Phillips, takes her, drives off. Frank, what do the authorities think happened after that?
Well, he vanished with the car and the baby and drove around, and the police have been trying to reconstruct his whereabouts. There is some evidence that was picked up and some witness statements, as well as some of his own statements that he's made that indicates that he stopped off at a variety of places around town before he disappeared someplace into the woods, the wooded areas, the remote areas of Mason County. And before showing up about an hour or so later at his parents' house where he had been living north of town. So, you know, the question is, you know, where was he and what was he doing at the time?
And he took off with the baby. The baby was obviously gone here in that intervening hour here. Where is he now? Where is Sean Phillips?
He's serving time on an unlawful imprisonment charge right now. So he has been tried last year and is serving time on that charge, but he has not been charged with murder at this point in time.
Okay, but the authorities think that he is responsible for the baby's death.
That's correct.
Okay. And explain how you came to be involved then.
Well, when the police showed up at Sean Phillips' parents' house, he had been there. And so they found out that he had the baby's clothes, baby Kate's clothes in his pockets, and the baby seat was tucked in the back of the trunk of the car, but there was no baby. And so obviously they had arrested him since the baby was missing. And the detective on the case, Detective Wells, was observant enough to notice that the shoes he had been wearing were coated in mud, and so he got the shoes as evidence.
Okay,
and began looking around for a forensic expert that could do some soil identification, and so he was referenced to our well-known forensics program here through. Dr. David Foran, who's the director of the Forensic Science Program and director of Forensic Biology Laboratory here in the School of Criminal Justice at Michigan State.
Okay.
And so he has a list of faculty, and myself included, who have a very variety of expertise in possibly serving in the forensic capacity. And so he passed the shoes and the evidence on to Professor James Crum in the Crop and Soil Sciences Department. And Dr. Crum was able to identify the soil very clearly as a windblown sand, which for West Michigan is not overly uncommon given the sand dune nature of the environment.
Right.
And but what Dr. Crum noticed was that there was plant material associated with the plant fragments and fruit, small fruit, associated with the soil. And so he said, well, you know, Frank Tolusky, Dr. Tolusky should be able to help us on that. Why don't we send, you know, the evidence up to Tolusky's lab and see what he can come up with for identification. So
okay.
That's how I got involved.
Okay. And how much did you have to work with? These were tiny bits of plant material. Peter Carrington, you worked on this. How much did you have to work with?
There was only about a gram, really, or less of material, very small amounts. But since it had been rinsed out of this sandy mud, it was in good condition, some of it, and a variety of pieces, many of which were recognizable, were extracted out of it.
Okay. And you are trying to do what now with the plant material that you've identified?
Well, it's interesting is that the mud and it's sticky, you know, the muddy sand is kind of a mucky, sandy soil.
Okay.
Had a sticky consistency to it. And so as he walked through the woods, he was literally collecting a sample of material from where he walked. And so if we make the assumption that he parked the car someplace and he got out of the car and he walked into the woods, you know, with the infant, and he's got came in contact with this mud and it starts picking up this plant material, we may be able to connect the dots and reconstruct a path which he may have followed. So all of these plants are not – we don't expect to find all these plants in one specific location, but along a path, so if we can kind of connect dots together. So – and one of the key things is that we found this sedge working with Dr. Tony Resnicek from the University of Michigan, who's a global expert in sedges, identified them as being a particular species that's fairly uncommon in Mason County. It's more common in other areas of Michigan, but within Mason area it's uncommon. So that's kind of becoming our focal plant species that we're looking for. And then with the other nine species of plants that we have, we're hoping to be able to narrow down the possible search areas that the police department then can concentrate their search on for a body. So we're not looking for baby Kate. We're looking for the plant material that was associated with his shoe.
So a gram of biomass was 10 different species?
Yes.
That's amazing. That sounds like, how can you explain that?
Well, it's actually relatively simple. We have some photographs here you can take a look at. But you look at the plant species, they're really pretty tiny. But you can tell a lot from a tiny piece of plant material. These fruit of the carex are very small. They are fruit. They are characteristics of a given species. There were fragments of pine needles. There are fragments of other plant leaves. And they're very characteristics of plant material. We don't even need DNA. I mean, a lot of people say CSIO, you know, you could take the DNA, identify it. Well, there's enough morphology. There's enough morphological characteristics in these fruit and in these plant fragments that we're able to give a positive identification to where these what these plants represent.
So you're ostensibly searching for a combination of different kinds of plants.
Correct.
Okay, that's it. And investigators, I'm led to believe, have eliminated some promising areas already?
Yes, we have.
Okay, and why? Do you know that?
Well, because we don't have the plant associations there.
Okay, they just didn't match up.
Right.
Okay, and you're trying to line up volunteers for this project. Tell everybody what you have planned
sure.
for later this summer.
The Ludington Police Department is calling for volunteers. We're looking for about 100, 150 volunteers, people who would be interested in the search, who would have maybe a basic knowledge of botany, plant identification, some aspect of plant science. We're hoping that maybe we can encourage some MSU students and faculty and staff that if they're interested in participating in this. It would be the last weekend in June 28th and 29th up in Ludington, opportunity to be out in the field in Mason County and work with some of the experts. So we'll be working. I'll be there. Peter Carrington will be there, and some folks from the Field Museum in Chicago. The Field Museum in Chicago has also played an important role in helping identify some of the moss species and some of the other plant species that we found to, you know, down to specific taxa. Whereas I was able to get it down to genus, they were able to really take it a next step further.
How about that? Peter Carrington, this sounds like quite a learning experience for a graduate student in plant biology.
Well, it's an excellent opportunity to test your skills, both in looking for interesting details in a soil sample. I have some experience in working on soil samples with arthropods, which turned up some more botted mites and some other things in the soil. But this is a great opportunity to see how a few small fragments can be learned from.
It seems as if, ostensibly you're looking for plants here, but it seems as if The father was gone with the baby for an hour or so, you said?
I don't remember the exact time frame, but it was somewhere along that, in that period of time, yes.
It seems a volunteer is almost as likely to discover the remains themselves as they are the plants that you're searching for if he wasn't gone that far from Ludington. This was Ludington, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I wouldn't rule out the possibility that that could happen. It would be fantastic if it did. I think it would be, make very short work for the rest of the investigation. Of course, if anybody did come across the remains, they would be instructed. We'll go through a training and instruction period, but you would not touch it. You would back away from that site. It is a crime scene. You would need to let the forensic experts come in and really document that location. So don't touch. Plants, yes, you can plant touch, but you can touch plants. But if you see anything that looks out of the ordinary or suspicious that might be human related, leave it alone. Call the experts.
Yeah. The authorities announced the plans for this search a few days ago. Do you know if the public has started to respond?
Yes. Detective Welch has indicated that he has received several applications already. It's still early. We've got a few months to go, but we'd certainly like to see those numbers swell and get a really good volunteer corps out there that we can actually begin to narrow down these areas and really focus the search.
You're also the director of the Beale Botanical Garden here at Michigan State, which is a treasure here in East Lansing in mid-Michigan. There's nothing like a visit to Beale Garden in midsummer or any time. I imagine this is the time of year the garden's getting a lot busier.
Yes, we opened up the gates of the Botanical Garden on April 1st. My staff is down there working on getting things prepared, repairing the various winter damage and cleanup. We have winter aconite and snowdrops in bloom, so things are starting to happen down in the garden. And I'd like to also put a little plug in. It is our 140th anniversary this year, so we're hoping to have an open house sometime this fall. More information to follow.
Good place to learn, Peter Carrington. Do you spend much time in the Beale Gardens? Just
every moment I can.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
I have ever since the early 70s, in fact. And of course, at the time, I had no clue that someday I would be involved.
Oh,
but it is certainly a heartwarming adventure in science to be there.
My blood pressure drops 10 points just thinking about the Beale Gardens. It's a real treasure.
I think it's a very important role of gardens and botanical gardens around the world, around the country.
Yeah, just fantastic. Well, very interesting to have both of you in, and good luck with your search. Dr. Frank Talewski and Peter Carrington, one of his grad students in plant biology here at Michigan State University, and the story of baby Kate. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.